It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free, 347-215-7771.
Well, that's four in a row, folks, for the Celtics after a 128-100 victory over the New York Knicks tonight at home. This is the CLNS Media Celtics postgame show. I'm your host, Andrew Rubino. Alongside me is my go-to man, the Riffs man. Riffs, really excited for this show tonight. A lot to get into. The Celtics were off for full 4 days. Have not seen these guys play since Saturday against the Timberwolves, which was we should call Gordon Hayward Day from going forward because of the performance he had against the Timberwolves. So a lot to get to. Jaylen Brown back tonight. But first, I do want to talk to you guys about a Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. This episode is sponsored by them. Every neighborhood, it has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, the Boston's historic North End. That place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street. So, like I said, I am Andrew Rubino. Alongside me tonight is Riffsman. If you want to call in and join us and ask a question, pose a thought, number is 347-215-7771. The Celtics, with a major victory over the Knicks tonight, four-game winning streak. Now let's get right to it, Riffs. I mean, I would say the biggest thing is the fact that the Celtics and Brad Stevens rolled with the same starting five of Kyrie, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, and Al Horford. And now you have a pretty crazy three-headed monster off the bench of Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, who was back healthy tonight, and Terry Rozier. What were your initial thoughts with Jaylen Brown coming in right away when he came in off the bench and had some good buckets right away early?
It's beautiful to see him realize how athletic he is again and that he can get to the rim against pretty much anybody. I thought that was one of the – it opened up so much for the Celtics to be able to get those cheap points in the paint, to get some free throws. I thought he shot the ball exceptionally well from the free throw line for him. I think he was like 7 of 8, 7 of 9, something like that. And really just playing with force down there. I thought he was a huge, huge, huge thing off the bench, as well as Hayward with his passing. And obviously Rozier hit a couple of great threes off of pin downs. It's a rare occasion where we get four games over 115 in a row. So I'm just going to enjoy it, man.
No doubt the fact that the Celtics have been scoring in bunches and on this four-game winning streak. And, I mean, tonight you see it, they had seven total guys in double figures. That is quite impressive. I think that is the balance that if Brad Stevens could kind of put it down on a piece of paper, that's what he would want out of the Celtics group. And it's kind of ironic, too, because Marcus Smart, he only had 4 points tonight, but he's out there throwing alley-oops to Al Horford, mm-hmm. and he's out there getting 7 assists, and he's all over the floor. He has 2 steals tonight. So Marcus Smart obviously adding his part. But, look, I mean, Riffs, it was really 22 minutes because the last 3 minutes that Jaylen Brown played weren't that intense, and he kind of had a bucket or two that were kind of garbage time buckets. But still, 21 mm-hmm. points on 7 of 10 shooting, like you said. But my biggest thing is that Jaylen Brown knows how to get to the rim. And when I did the postgame show in the first game where Jaylen Brown was hurt and they had the new starting five of the five we saw tonight, I said right away, look, like, I'm really happy that this starting five has figured it out and is able to get off to a hard start. But Jaylen Brown coming in off the bench and getting to the rim and being able to go to the line nine times and getting 7 made free throws out of that, that's showing kind of, like you said, the athleticism and the explosiveness that he can play with. And it's a little bit different off the bench. I think it gives a healthy spark for the Celtics team.
Definitely. I think the combination of Hayward's passing and Brown's strength and speed getting to the rim opened up a lot for Terry as well. I thought could be one of those things that turns out to be a long-term blessing in disguise, because Gordon's had a great, great attitude about being on the bench. There's, like, no compunctions about it on his end. And Jaylen seems to have that same mindset, too, where he's confident no matter where he's starting, and he has that mindset to be more aggressive, knowing in more beneficial ways, knowing that he has those opportunities with him and Hayward out there to go do their thing a little bit. So I just thought it was a great, great balance, and that could be such a long-term thing for us. If those two are drawing fouls off the bench, our offense can be totally buoyed by that, I think.
And not only that, but it's a healthy mix, right? Because I felt like that starting five had a too much offensive, like, one-on-one game. It felt like it was a big game of a bunch of alpha males that were out there, and everybody was like, wait, but, like, I really want my shots. Hold on, wait, I want mine. I'm really the only one that was out there in that original starting five to start the year that didn't need his shot right away, it felt like, or the ball a ton, was Al Horford, because he can get put back. Mm-hmm. He kind of affects the game with his defense. Now when you have two tougher guys in Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, and a guy in Marcus Smart who's more defensive-minded, when you bring, like you said, Brown and Gordon Hayward off the bench, right away, they are fresh, and they can – they're Celtics, even with Kyrie, Horford, and Tatum still in there, when the Marcus has got subbed out and Brown and Hayward came in, the Celtics were looking for them. The other three guys were looking for Brown and Hayward right away, because they knew they were fresh, and guess what? Brown and Hayward came in and did that, and they were affecting the game right away. I mean, Hayward had a couple of great passes to start. I want to say he had a three as well, and Jaylen Brown obviously had a bucket, and then he had an and one. So, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but tonight in the first game back for Jaylen Brown off the bench, to have 21 points in 25 minutes and shoot 70% from the field, I think any Celtics fan should be excited about that.
Yeah, and I think going back to what you were saying about those two lineups being shifted, I thought Smart had a really, really great quote in the press about making the game dirty, and that they didn't have enough guys willing to get in there and get bloody, grimy, dirty in the lane. And I think two things happen. He comes in and he's an exceptional screener, which not a lot of guys had been doing off ball. And he can run the pick and roll as a facilitator, as we saw with a lot of those lobs tonight to Horford and a lot of the looks he got for Tatum as well. And so you add that in, plus his defense, and he and Morris. Morris can shoot the ball, I think, off ball a little bit better this year than Hayward. Hayward usually hit threes off the dribble in Utah, if my memory serves correct. So you bring that in, two guys willing to play off ball and do the grimy stuff. And then correspondingly, I think Brown and Hayward are just too talented to be sitting there in the corners just watching things happen. And so it takes a little bit of pressure off everybody because they can play their game. And then alternatively, Kyrie and Tatum can be a little bit more the featured scorers, with knowing that Smart, Horford, and Mook are going to be doing that grimy stuff off ball to get them going.
And that is the perfect way to put it, is like the grimy off-ball stuff that not everyone in the league wants to do, but Marcus Smart lives for that. You look at Marcus Smart, and he wants to do that. You look at Marcus Morris. I mean, he's last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, sitting there pretty much spitting up, yelling so hard at Tristan Thompson. Like, those guys live for their toughness and live for that vibe. So you're right on there, Riff. I think that this starting five and this kind of new three-headed monster, as I'm going to call it, off the bench of of Rozier with Hayward and Brown, it looks really good so far. And look, you can call in and challenge me and say, anybody can call in and say, look, Rubino, you're overreacting to four games, and two of those teams are really bad in the East with the Cavs and the Knicks. Yeah, but guess what? The Celtics made Anthony Davis uncomfortable, and the Timberwolves have been a much better team in the really tough Western Conference and have had a much better wet record since they traded away Jimmy Butler. So if you can't tell me that this winning streak isn't an impressive thing. Plus, Riffs, it's not like it was exactly 15 days ago, the day before Thanksgiving, the Knicks came to the Garden and embarrassed the Celtics. They were up by like 20-plus at one point, and the Celtics almost made it a game and a crazy comeback at the end, but it doesn't matter. This is a team that the Celtics struggled with just 15 days ago, and they whooped them tonight. So something's working.
Yeah, and like we talked about last time we did a post-game show together, there were concerns I had, but ultimately I think so much was about high variance shooting and just really kind of like mathematical anomalies to have that many guys who were such good shooters missing, and then missing layups and stuff early in those games. And really since Hayward started to look better, it's five out of the last six games now that we have wins. So, and some quality ones at that. I mean, just like you were saying, the Timberwolves have some exceptional players, obviously Towns, Covington, Rose has looked a lot better. You know, he really has gotten his legs back under him, and especially from three. So there were some good wins in there, and obviously holding the Pelicans to as few points as we did in their hometown, home arena, you know, they're just a juggernaut offense. So there's been good developments on both sides of the ball, I think, and that's really, you know, just focus on that process of generating good shots and playing defense as we have been, and I think the math was going to come around ultimately, and that's why I was really kind of I took a long-term approach to it and tried not to be too reactionary, even though we were all frustrated.
And that's I think that's the best way to put it for a lot of people that were Celtics fans, is that it was easy to see, oh my goodness, 10-10 through 20 games, almost a quarter of the season, and to overreact, and it didn't feel like they had a lineup. And then all of a sudden, it was a blessing in disguise for Brown to have to be out for a few games, and the Celtics feel like they've found a little bit of an identity so far in this four-game winning streak, tied for a season-high winning streak. They also had a four-game winning streak earlier in the year. But our man, Riff's Jerry, is going to join us now from L.A., our West Coast guy. Jerry, what's up, man? You're on with Andrew and Riff's. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, salutations to all the Celtic Nation, and Andrew and Riff, man, thanks for having me on. What's good with you guys, man?
Everything.
Yeah, you know what? We're excited after that game, and we want to hear your take or your thought or your question, whatever it may be.
Hey, oh, for sure, man. I'm excited that it's a nice little winning streak. And so check this out on the assist. 11 more assists for the Celtics. That's always a good sign. That's a couple of quarter right there. 8 less turnovers. That's 2 per quarter. Guess what? 22 more points in the paint. That's big.
Yep.
And guess what? Plus
Jerry,
19
are these,
on the
are
basket.
These, are these compared to the Knicks? Are you saying these stats are compared to the
yeah.
Knicks tonight? Oh, okay.
Yeah, compared
okay.
to the Knicks,
yeah.
Exactly. We're on the plus side. No, I'm not giving you the total. No, just compared to the Knicks, exactly. And then 19 fast break points more than the Knicks. So I really was hoping we could keep these guys under 100 just because you're supposed to do that. It feels good, you know, as an NBA team. Oh, those guys couldn't even get to 100, you know. And steady Al, man. People call him average Al, but I think he's above average for sure. He's a good B-plus player. And guess what? He's steady Al. He had 11 boards and 4 blocks. And when we needed a couple of buckets in the third quarter, when the Knicks were kind of, you know, pushing it under double digits, there was steady Al getting a free throw or two and, you know, making a bucket. Gordon is looking smooth out there. It looks like his rhythm is coming back, his legs. Jaylen Brown looked like the real Jaylen Brown that, you know, we all know is in him. You know, this is the second time he's had an injury related to him taking an awkward fall. I don't know if you guys remember last year, of course, he fell on his neck. This last game, I think it was against Dallas, he fell on his tailbone. And it was a similar thing where he's up in the air, like, you know, making an athletic play, and he doesn't have that body control. You know, he's a big guy, so he falls hard. So hopefully we never see that again. I hate seeing that type of stuff. Guess what? Terry Rozier seemed like, you know, he's happy because there's only two guys on the squad that – have an issue with money, and that's Rozier, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and then Jaylen the year after. And they're the two, like, assets that seem to be pieces that are put into all the trades. So you could see how if they're weak-minded players, emotional players, and didn't realize that it's a grown-up world, it's a man's world, and it's a business, so people get traded, and hey, Danny's known for it. So these guys seem, like, content with their roles and like, you know, they're just going to man up and sack it up. They can't control if they get traded or not, so they're going to play the best they can. And they're showing that. I really believe that. And they look
hey, Jerry,
to me. The squad, yeah.
Jerry, hey, you know, thank you for the call. A lot of good stuff to get in there, to get into there. I think the biggest thing that I would say, too, that Jerry mentioned, Riffs, is that Hayward looked really fluid. And it's a huge – it's no more baby steps with Hayward. Like, I feel like now, after that Minnesota game, and he was kind of doing it a little bit more, like, even before the Minnesota game, like, he had some good games before that. He, all of a sudden, like, he had, like, 19 actually against the Knicks, ironically enough, going back to that game I mentioned the day before Thanksgiving, and then he had 14 against the Cavs and then exploded for 30 against the T-Wolves. I would say, like,
that Hayward now looks really fluid. Like, when he's taking his shots, it's not like he's, like, praying that they go in. Like, he's like, okay, catch and shoot,
yeah.
Got a couple, like, threes tonight. Like, same thing with his drives. But I will say that there are a couple times still, Rick, that he, like, doesn't fully, like, trust himself, or he's, like, a little passive-aggressive with, like, who, like, pass off an open three, and then it's, like, kind of messes up the flow of it. Or, I don't know, like, if you're seeing that too, am I the only person?
No, he has. He's had his moments. I think the fluidity thing is a definite stamina issue, and it's gotten a lot better. And I think one of the areas you can see it is when he makes passes at the end of drives. I think that's where it really, like, it's one thing to go to the rim or whatever and start and stop and stuff like that, but if you make a hard drive and you can make that pass at the end, I think that's a pretty good sign of where his conditioning and his stamina is at. And he's looked better in that regard. I think the next hurdle is he had one of those transition plays where he overpassed it a little and Tatum bailed it out. But I was just really hoping he was going to cram it home, because I want to see him just get over that last hurdle I think he has. But
yep.
Overall, I think the fluidity and movement is definitely getting there, and the stamina is getting there. And it's just a matter of time and reps.
And I think the fact that Hayward – made a huge step forward, and that he's in better conditioning, and now things don't look as almost like, I would say awkward. He looked pretty awkward out there. Like, I've always used this comparison these past,
mm-hmm.
I would say, the first part of the season, that he looked like a JV guy playing with the varsity guys for the first time, but he has a lot of potential. Now it's like, okay, the nerves are gone, he's playing fluid,
yeah.
But then it's like, just like Kyrie told the media that he told Hayward in a conversation, is that, like, you have that killer instinct, Hayward, get that old G, quote-unquote, back, that he is aggressive and he can go to the rim and look, show it against the Timberwolves, and he looked really solid
mm-hmm.
tonight. It was a lot of play. I mean, his numbers don't pop out at you, but, like, 8, 6, and 4 from a guy who didn't play more than 25 minutes tonight is still solid numbers. He shot 2 of 3 from the three-point range. So, like, I feel like that he's making – I was really concerned early on in the season, Rips. I was very
mm-hmm.
pessimistic, and I said to Sam Sheehan, CLNS media co-host, I was like, Sheehan, like, if he does not start showing anything, I think there's cause for concern. But look, he was shut me and everybody else
yeah.
up. But really quickly, because my thing is, I get nervous when it doesn't look fluid. I can deal with, like, missed shots
yeah.
or whatever. But now that he
yeah.
just looks the part, I think everything's going to come together and you're going to see more consistent numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought it's funny in a game where you have 125, 128 points, something like that, 128, and I felt like they left points on the table. And I think once he really gets going, this team has so much potential at both ends of the floor. So it's great to see him getting there.
347-215-7771 is the number. I'm Andrew Rubino. Alongside me tonight is Ripsman. Very very solid call from our friend Jerry on the West Coast. We want more callers if you want. I just said the number 347-215-7771. One thing that I've said on this show, and it feels like every game that I do, Kyrie ends up with high assist numbers, but still, even in the games that I don't do rips, and even just checking casual box scores and really following this team closely, you can tell Kyrie's vision is on another level this year. And it's
oh, yeah,
showing
absolutely.
With – it's shown with assist numbers, Riffs, but even just the little, like, intricacies. Like, tonight, Scal on the local broadcast broke down that one awesome pass to Tatum for 3 points on a three-pointer, and how Kyrie looked at him at the very last second, and he was able to get Mario Hezonja of the Knicks off of Tatum and open for an open three as he was driving in. Like, the little things Kyrie is adding to his game and the vision he has, even in buckets that aren't going for the Celtics, it's making the offense more fluid overall.
Yeah, I think his floater game with how he shoots and how he hits those floaters is really opening up that those passes off the paint touch. And he had that beautiful left-handed pass to Tatum on that assist you're talking about. But because he's so good getting into the lane right now, he drew 3 defenders on the paint touch. And not only did he have Tatum there at last second, obviously the choice, but he had Smart in the corner as well, where Smart is actually shooting a bit more admirably lately. And so he's leveraging all the best parts of his game to be a better passer, and that's the beautiful thing about it, I think.
And the numbers are showing, too, with, like, the things you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, he attracts so many bodies defensively from the other team. Like, and that's a perfect analysis of what you just said. Like the fact that three guys came onto him, and it's showing, Rich, with the numbers. In his last 10 games, he has four different double-digit assist games. He has an 8-assist game tonight, and against the Timberwolves, he had 9 assists. So that's really only 3 bad assist games in the last 10 games for Kyrie. Like, in bad assist games, okay, like, people always say, if you're slipping guys and they're not hitting, does it really mean you're not doing your job as the point guard and facilitating the ball? I don't know. That's not for me. We could do a whole hour podcast on that, Riffs, but my point is that the Celtics, as a team, have such a good offense, and Kyrie's finding these guys, and he's just increasing his amount of assists per game as the season's gone on.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about it is he's doing it within the flow of the offense, and he's not – like, you see a lot of analysis of, like, say, the Washington Wizards and John Wall. John Wall isn't moving off the ball a lot, so a lot of his assists are just really dominant, and it's kind of clunky, and the offense is improving. But right now the ball is, for the Celtics, whipping around the perimeter, and he's doing it very quickly. His reads are very quick, and he doesn't need a lot of time, and it's because he's leveraged those other parts of his game. And he's doing everything off ball too. So it's just making him into such an unstoppable offensive player. And it's really, really commendable to see how fast he's making his decisions as well. Because that was something when I saw him with the Cavaliers that maybe I didn't know he was going to be able to do, because he was at times very, not methodical, but he could dribble it a bit, but he seems to be just adapting to what we want to do here, and it's a great thing to see, and it's a lot of credit to him, because anybody of his skill level could look at who he already was and be like, I'm fine with that. He wants to take that next step as a player, and the passing is really showing his commitment to that.
And look, everybody laughed at Kyrie when he quote-unquote leaves LeBron, and then everybody's like, I had so many people tell me, and I've said this on this CLNS postgame show before, I had so many people tell me, whether they knew basketball or not, dude, Kyrie is just a scorer. He's not going to have the great assist numbers. It's going to be a joke. He doesn't know how to pass. He was playing alongside LeBron, who has the ball in his hands probably just as much as any player in the NBA, and he's not a hog because he's a great player, but it didn't allow Kyrie to develop anything more than just taking his shots when he got them and playing some iso ball once in a while. Now that he has the full reign, it took him now, I would say the first 10 games of this year, it felt a little bit like Cleveland, where there's a lot of iso ball, the assist numbers were fine, not great. Now he's kind of flipped the switch, and the assists are coming, and the offense is flowing better, and the Celtics are rallying off more wins.
Yeah, and I think that's so much of a trust in. He and Brad had a trust that he didn't have with any coach in Cleveland, and that just strikes me as like their relationship seems very healthy, and they seem to give and take with each other. Like, they'll concede some things some nights, and it's just like a good working relationship, and I think it shows in this play.
Kyrie Irving had quite the game tonight. He had 22 points, and he had 8 assists, as I mentioned earlier, kind of doing it all for the Celtics team as the true on point guard. I mean, a lot of people just think of Kyrie as that, as a scoring guard for the Celtics, but he technically is a point guard. No, he looks like the point guard tonight. The point guard of the Celtics, doing everything that a normal point guard back in the day, maybe the John Stocktons of the world, would do, with great assist numbers as well. But you brought up, Riffs, that I definitely think is interesting, and I noticed tonight, is that when Stevens plays Rozier with Kyrie, it's not, their defense lacks because they're both a little bit undersized and they're both wanting to score the ball. There's nothing awkward about them being on the floor at the same time, and I don't know if it's just a matter of they figured it out and now it's working really well, but there's something to be said about Kyrie being able to kind of trust Terry Rozier on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, I think Terry had some great catch-and-shoot plays when playing with Kyrie. And I think one of the understated things about Kyrie, and is he going to be your Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown on ball defensively with that toughness? Probably not. But I think he's made a commitment to off-ball defense and reading the game as a defender. And whatever liabilities you'd think those two would have together, Terry is such a good rebounder and Kyrie is playing so smart off the ball, that the things I think that they're doing well in ways that are counterintuitive because you think they would get beat up a little bit. But those two things seem to be transcending those limitations. And I think offensively, like you said, they trust each other and seem to genuinely get along well. Like, I don't think, like, when people worry about Rozier, they're worried about chemistry or whatever. It's never been about him and other guys on the team. It's just a difficult situation financially or whatever in terms of role. But I think he and Kyrie have a really, really good relationship on and off the court, and I think that shows in how they kind of trust each other in those different facets of the game.
And look, this will sound funny, and this is coming from somebody who's in the younger generation and can kind of read these things. And, I mean, Riff, I don't know if you're an Instagram user like me or to the extent, but if you post a picture with anyone on Instagram, it means that you probably like them. And for Terry Rozier on his whole Instagram feed to have a picture of him and Kyrie, and they have their little, like, three handshake, like they put up the three, and for him to post that, Terry Rozier is clearly the subordinate to Kyrie Irving. And Terry Rozier was the starting point guard on a team last year that had Kyrie hurt. He stepped up and got him within a game of the finals and hit big shots, especially in that first round series against the Bucks. Terry Rozier, like you're saying, is clearly getting along more than fine with Kyrie if he's out here posting Instagram pictures. And if anybody is of the older generation, you're listening to this show, trust me, from my perspective, from my younger perspective, that is actually a big thing for Terry Rozier to be posting. No, it can only mean good things. So all jokes aside, though, Kyrie Irving looked very good tonight, as well did Terry Rozier, had some very good numbers. And this is the CLNS Media Celtics post-game show, but we do want to hear from our friends at Boston Barber and Tattoo Company that do make this show possible.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat. A place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
As always, thank you to our friends at Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. I'm Andrew Bino. Alongside me is the one and only Riffs Man. Riffs, I swear, every time I check Twitter, you're just influencing Celtics content more and more. But anyways, we are the CLNS Celtics post-game show, CLNS Media post-game show. Alongside Riffs. All right. Al Horford tonight, man. He really – I think it's interesting because people say average Al, this and that. Al Horford is the veteran on this team. He's a guy who's played so many years, and he was so close to getting to the finals with those teams on the Hawks, and he's won 60-plus games before, and he was the first major free agent to commit to the Celtics. Horford is a guy that I swear every game he starts out a little bit passive on offense, gets it going on the defensive end. He wants to get Kyrie going. He wants to get Tatum going. Oh, Jalen and Hayward are coming in off the bench tonight. Let's get them going. And then all of a sudden, in the second and third quarters, his offense picks up, does it not?
Yeah, and I thought a couple of things that stood out to me. Tonight could have been an easy game where rebounding would have been a terrible, terrible disaster for us because we had no Williams. He's in May, and Baines gets hurt, and Al came down with 12 rebounds against the team with Cantor and Mitchell Robinson. So I thought that was really crucial. And like you said, he gets into the flow of it. I think sometimes he's selfless to a fault, but his second and third quarter were just amazing. I thought in the screen and roll game, he was just incredible. He was doing everything you could ask for. Short roll passes. His dives to the rim were incredible. He and Smart and him and Tatum were just killing the Knicks in pick and roll, and that's an area where we can involve him. That it's almost like it almost tricks him because he's doing selfless things when you're doing pick and roll. So you can trick him into being aggressive in the pick and roll because he wants to make those screens, those good-hearted screens and dives where he passes and stuff. And so off of that, he got all those lobs and it got him really going. And I think the more we can involve him with that, with Tatum and Smart running pick and roll with him, I think it just looks – the offense looks so good when they use him in that way specifically.
This is the thing. Horford, I swear, his offense comes better when he picks up the defensive end and gets it going on the defensive end first, because he has everybody else going, and then all of a sudden it comes. And like you said, when he needs to step up with the rebounds, he's going to. Like a night like tonight, like going back to that game I mentioned, 15 days ago, the day before Thanksgiving, the Celtics lost at home against the Knicks. In that game, Noah Vonleh, who has really high motor, kind of unexpectedly, like finally finding his little niche here with the Knicks, he had 10 rebounds in that game, and Cantor had 10 rebounds in that game as well. Two guys that are, like you said, high energy, and look, they both showed it, and they brought it tonight, and they still did, like, solid with their rebound numbers. I mean, Vonleh had 10, Cantor had 11, so pretty consistent play against the Celtics with them on rebounding. But like you said, did you really notice it? No, because Horford played so well, and he got 12 boards, and he had 2 offensive boards, and it's something to be said about a guy like Horford, like you said, when the Celtics had their backs against the wall with the amount of bigs because Baines gets nicked up, and for him to just kind of go in right away and do what he does best, which is kind of just man the defense, it's impressive. But I will say that I know that the Celtics want to get Robert Williams, or your boy, I should say, Time Lord, up some reps up in Maine.
Yeah, we can
Riffs, like, thank you. That's the thing. Like, I understand that Baines is more of a veteran and Tice is more of a veteran, but Williams, every time he's in, he either has a dunk or some major rebound. Like, he should be playing a little bit more for the Celtics.
Yeah, I think he's such a game changer in terms of his gravity as a role man. You know, like, you can't even, like, help off of a Kyrie or Tatum drive if he's their baseline. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't help off them. So I think it's just, I think Brad wants to do the kid gloves thing, and I understand it because their backs got put against the wall by their poor start to the season, and they don't want to mess around with, execution on both ends of the floor, and knowing they want to know guys are going to be in the right spots, and young guys have that. But I think he should have been there tonight, especially with their bigs. And every time he goes in, it's just a highlight reel. He's gonna crush some people on the baseline weak side as a shot blocker. He's gonna be just throwing down a lob, and I think he's got such a potential to contribute this year. It's just gonna be a matter of opportunity and him seizing it when he does get that chance. But I think in how he's worked and how he's really conducted himself in the time since the Time Lord incident, I think he does deserve those minutes. Tonight especially, could he use them?
I will say this. It's so easy to say, well, Baines got hurt, and I kind of sound like that. Like, Baines got hurt, and I'm complaining because I'm like, oh, my God, I would have loved to see Williams play, and it would have given him some minutes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to realize from a social perspective, Brad Stevens has all these personalities. He's trying to make everybody happy. The Celtics weren't winning games.
Yeah.
He's trying to bring back Gordon Hayward in the rehab. I think the last thing he wants is for is for a guy like Aaron Baines, who came back on a very team-friendly deal, to be extremely frustrated about his role on the team. So it's like, okay, we're going to play Baines instead of Robert Williams, even though Williams probably has more potential, and even though that he could easily contribute this year, I think you have to realize that there's only so many battles that Brad Stevens probably wants to fight internally, and that's probably what he doesn't want to.
Yeah, and I think Williams is one of the things people don't understand about him is he's like really, really selfless, like just in the way he plays basketball. If you watch him, he's like the most willing defender and passer, and I think if he just did those two things, he would be happy as a pig in mud and guts. So like it's one of those things where I understand why Brad's doing it, and like you said, Baines came back, team-friendly deal. Tice is in a contract year and has been nothing but a hard worker, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things we can nitpick when we're looking for all the answers, which all of us were, because it just didn't make sense why they weren't winning. But right now, I think it's probably, he's like you said, it's just another battle that it's probably not one needed to be fought, but we'll see as the year goes on. I think he'll make a case for himself if he gets a chance.
He should make – he'll eventually make a case for himself in a bigger way, and I think he'll eventually be a very good
reserve, and who knows what his potential is. He's a super, super athletic guy. But look, I'm no dummy. Baines is essentially a poor man's Al, that he's really tough. He plays good defense, and he stretches the floor. Robert Williams does not have a jump shot. He's going to be around the rim, and he's going to be a great shot blocker, and he's going to catch some alley-oops, and it's exciting, and Twitter's going to go crazy, and Riff, you're going to probably tweet a GIF or a funny picture, and it's going to be awesome. But at the end of the day, what is the most rational thing for the Celtics to do? Play Baines, and I understand that. It just, and a night like tonight, when Baines goes down, it's like, where is Robert Williams? But he's up in Maine, probably freezing. Poor guy. He's used to Texas A&M weather down in the south. Yeah. He's up in Maine. But so I'm glad that we kind of got to Horford, because I wrote it down right away. I was like, Horford always lets everybody else get going, and then he gets going himself, and he's quite the unselfish vet. But one guy who's been very unselfish all year, and like you've been saying earlier, in a contract year, Terry Rozier, but he was in the game. The Knicks, weirdly enough, in the middle of that fourth quarter, it's not like the game was in doubt necessarily. Like I never thought, oh my God, the Celtics are going to lose. But Tim Hardaway Jr. had a bucket and a three, and the game was a little close. And then right before media timeout, Rozier splashed it. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I might have been a Knicks timeout because they were so frustrated. Rozier splashed a three, made it a 17-point lead with 4:30 to go, and that was kind of the game. With Rozier being in that situation and hitting a three, and everybody on the Celtics 100% trusting Rozier, who's probably technically their eighth man if you really want to think about it in a very concrete way, for him to be in at that junction of the game, that type of shot, and the Celtics not even bat an eye, I think it shows how much depth the Celtics team has. Like, it's for Rozier to be hitting that shot and for him to be in. And sometimes Rozier plays, 14 minutes, I think, was his lowest of the year. He played against, was it the Magic a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now? The year's gone so fast. But I don't know. I just think it shows really, like, the Celtics have so many options.
Yeah, and I think it's a credit to him. I haven't heard him say one negative thing all year. And, you know, we're Boston is such a sports media environment where they're looking to answer problems with negativity or whatever. Literally none of it has come from Terry, so I think shout out to him. Any question he ever takes from the press, he's deferential to Brad and really just complimentary of teammates. And it's just, I think more than anything, it's like picking your spots is a difficult thing in those minutes. And there's like a psychological battle of not wanting to do too much, but then as soon as you get in, you want to just like make your impact on the game and get going. But I think he's going to settle into it, and I expect him to actually have a good second half of the year. I think so, at least, because he has such an opportunity as Hayward gets healthier and can spot him for those catch-and-shoot threes.
And I think it would be extremely hard to be Rozier, obviously, because social cues of, all right, everybody knows he wants a big contract. Everybody knows that he was a starter on the team when Kyrie went out, and they still did well. But you have to say, like, he is just taking his opportunities. Like, that one game out west, I think it was Kyrie had that personal issue. I don't know if somebody in his family passed or what it was, but he wasn't with them in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Terry got the start. He had 22 points. Like I've been saying, if you're Terry's agent, that's one of the first clips you're sending to all these teams. To get Terry a fat contract this offseason. He's taken advantage of a lot of his different opportunities, but I'm definitely impressed by his play so far this year. We'll see where it goes. I'm trying to pull up right now the past 10 games or so for Terry, and I have it right here. I think it's interesting to look at, especially during this winning streak. he's been like inconsistent numbers, I guess is like the best way to put it. Until the point of when they played the Pelicans. He had 14 against the Pelicans. He had 10 against the Cavs. 7 a little bit low against the T-Wolves, but tonight he had 11 points. So it's like now his numbers are more steadily and are closer to that 10 points a game range, which I think is kind of going to be his sweet spot. And if you look at the games before in the really rough stretch the Celtics had where they had a bunch of losses, he had a stretch where he had right up until that game against the Pelicans, he had a 4-point game, a 4-point game, 8 points. He didn't score. And then he had a 12-point game against Atlanta and a win, so that shows that when he plays well, the Celtics usually are playing well. Like those, one of the 4-point games, the 8-point game, and no points, those were all in losses. Then you have, I guess what I'm trying to say in a really sloppy way is that
if you look at it, when Terry's scoring in double figures and he's kind of making the most of his 18 to 25 minutes, the Celtics are winning. And that's obvious when you look at his game logs from this year.
Yeah, and I think it's just taking a little bit of pressure off of him. In the games where we've looked good, I think it's where Hayward's played a little bit more of the traditional point guard next to him. And when he can make those, rather than him getting a little bit bogged down in the high pick and rolls where he can have a little bit of trouble, if he's coming off pin downs and then he can attack, or if he's coming off motion and then he can get a catch and shoot three off of those pin downs, he really likes to come off left to right. I think that's where he's going to really give us a lot, you know, as that bench microwave. And the better he plays, the more games we're going to win. It just comes down to that.
I'm so with you there. And the other thing, too, is that he can shoot in so many different ways. Like, you see, Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite players in the NBA, but it's not hard to see that he does not come off screens. He has to have the ball in his hands all the time. With Terry tonight, on back-to-back possessions, he came down on a fast break, super calmly, great idea, pull up three, cash. It went right in. It was probably the sexiest shot of the night. Then he comes down next possession.
Tice sets
that double screen, and it was kind of like a confusing action until he saw it on an instant replay in slow-mo, and he sets the screen for Rozier. Rozier comes off, bang, catch and shoot three, and those unreal new, like, sexy-looking Puma shoes that he was wearing, the South Beach-looking colors, and he drains a three, back-to-back possession.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, okay, he's one of those guys that he can shoot and get to the not only get to the basket, but he can shoot threes in a multitude of ways, and that's so big. It's not like he's a guy that needs to be just dribbling a ton, which sometimes I kind of give Tatum a hard time for, or Kyrie can dribble too much once in a while. Like, Terry doesn't even have to touch the ball a ton, and all of a sudden, oh, catch and shoot three or pull up three, very smart plays. So I would say that not only Rozier, but also Marcus Smart, they're kind of the guys who last year when the Celtics were really coming into form and people thought they were a title contender, everybody wants to compare them and call them the knuckleheads and say, oh, they don't know, that they kind of make dumb plays sometimes, and especially Smart. I feel like both those guys have really played smart this year. All of the plays that they have made have been within the offense, and especially Marcus Smart. He's had every shot. I have not had one shot this year or one play where I was like, wow, Marcus Smart, like, you are going over the top and being irrational, which sometimes in his younger years he has been, but I feel like he's maturing.
Definitely.
I feel like a proud dad. It's like he's maturing right before my eyes.
Yeah, he had one side-to-side ball movement. It gets to him. He easily could have taken it. Last year, I think he forced a little bit. It was just a minor, you know, natural thing with the contract coming up. But he makes the extra pass to Tatum, and he's making that extra pass so much, and he's just playing free to be his role with no concerns about what his future is. You know what I mean? So it's like it's just allowed him to get back to what Marcus Smart is, and that's smart passes, you know, tough defense, tough rebounding, hard screens. And I think nobody has played more well to their role other than Morris. I think Smart has this year.
That I'll 100% agree with that. Is that there? I would say 1A, 1B, maybe Morris because he's kind of exceeded expectations, but he's stepped into a role that. Right, but with Smart, it's like we expected him to do this, but the reason I almost elevate him to right next to Morris is that there's no more dumb three pointers that aren't within the offense. There's no more plays where he's losing the ball when he's bringing it up or whatnot. Like every play he's making. It literally brings a smile to my face. Like, I'm so much calmer watching him this year, and hopefully that doesn't change. And hopefully I'm not jinxing it because, the Celtics are 24 games into a little over of a quarter of the way into this NBA season, into their NBA season. But I love Marcus Smart's game right now, Rissman. I really do, and I'm happy to watch him locked up to that nice contract that he got and probably extremely proud of and definitely deserved. But the number is 347-215-7771. The Riffs Man is alongside me. I'm Andrew Bino. We have about 15 minutes left, Riffs Man. A couple more things I definitely want to get to as the Celtics take it 128-100 over the New York Knicks tonight. Big thing, and I kind of prefaced it a few minutes ago when I was going over how Rozier really doesn't dribble that much, and I just love his game, is Jason Tatum. I was on him so much in the beginning of the year, especially on the post-game show, for how much he was dribbling, I think Twitter kind of freaked out as well, and everybody in the media was joking about the whole Kobe, and now Kobe's opening a Mamba mentality school, so hopefully Tatum is not sending in his application there. But I'll tell you what, Tatum, he's continuing to have more shots within the offense as the season's gone on, and he's getting to the rim much more, and he's out in transition, and I feel like the three-pointers he took tonight were within the offense. I don't know. Everybody I'm kind of high on right now, because I feel like that this is the Celtics team right now that I think people thought was going to be the Celtics right away, like the way everybody's playing, but especially Tatum. Now it's kind of becoming obvious. I think when he's on, he's the second-best scorer and offensive threat on the team, but he's not doing it in an obnoxious way. He's 7 for 11 tonight from the field, 3 of 5 from three, Chris.
Yes. I thought that was a really key point. And it's funny because he worked out with two people in this offseason. One was Kobe, obviously, which has drawn all of our ire. But the second one was Penny Hardaway. And I think when he has his great games, he's playing a little bit more like that, you know, facilitating more in the pick and roll, making those extra passes. The catch and shoot is such a huge deal. When he just fires and doesn't think about putting it on the deck, I think that's when he's playing his best basketball because he's so good. I mean, we thought he was having a bad year shooting, but he's shooting. He's over 40% again from three. So, and that's like such a strength of his. He's such a good shooter. When he plays smart, he's just like, it's just beautiful basketball to watch. And I think in the win streak and in getting this together, he's really looked a lot better. And we probably should be noting that. And he is, we've said it in so many ways that are complimentary, but he is 20 years old and is like doing as well as he did in an ECF against LeBron James, like either the second or third or first greatest basketball player ever, depending on your opinion. Like, it's natural to get a little bit out of your lane and not know how to handle that. And he's so young and playing in a team where everybody needs the ball, like Kyrie, Gordon, Brown, Hayward, all those guys. I could see where it would be easy to get a little bit flummoxed early on at that age and with all those accolades. And I think he's really responded well to Brad's coaching, and especially I believe it's Mike Shrewsbury who's responsible with Jalen and Jason being real with them when they're not playing the right way. And I think Mike has been really real with him in the past couple of weeks, and he's responded to it.
The biggest thing of what you said is that, think about it, he's 20 years old. He scores the second most playoff points by a rookie ever, to number two to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He comes in this season with all this hype, all this summer hype. Kobe's probably in his ear telling him he's the next great thing. Penny Hardaway's probably telling him he's the next great thing. He comes in this season, he takes 17, 16, 15 shots a game. Fifth game of the year, he's taking 18 shots a game. And guess what? It was yielding 23 points, 16 points, 24, and 24 points. Like, he was having great he was scoring at a high volume, but he was taking a lot of shots. But it wasn't within the offense. It was awkward. I was talking to my basketball friends and even just casual sports fans about how his game kind of looked different. All of a sudden, something's clicked, and he's now averaging that kind of perfect 15 to 20 points per game. And in his past handful of games, since the highest amount he's taken for shots in the game was back when the Celtics lost to Charlotte on the 19th during Thanksgiving week. He took 15 shots. Since then, he's taken less than 15 shots, or just right at 15 shots he took against the Timberwolves the other night. Why does that matter? My point is that if Jason Tatum was on a bad team, he would easily be eclipsing 20 points per game, like easily. And he could be shooting 20 times per game. But I'm sure Kyrie and Al Horford and some of the veterans came to him, especially Kyrie, and probably said, I bet Kyrie said to Tatum something to the effect of, look, I'm sacrificing some stats. I could be easily close to 30 points per game and have more accolades and whatnot, but that's not for the betterment of the team. Like what Tatum did tonight, 7 of 11 shooting, 17 points, I think it makes a lot of sense for his identity on the Celtics team. And look, there might be some games where he's super on fire. He's going to hit 25, 30 points. He should be doing that. He's 20 years old. He's a stud. But does he need to be doing that all the time? No, there's too much talent on this team for him to be dribble, chuck up a bunch of shots like he did at the beginning of the year, and that's why the Celtics got off to that rough start.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the key message to him has to be that volume does not make him less of a player than contemporaries who are like the younger guys who are getting big numbers on worse teams. I think last year I was a pretty big proponent of he's the best rookie because of his efficiency and because of his shooting and his ahead of his year's defense and ways of reading the game. And I think if you're averaging 16 points and 7 rebounds, say a couple of assists, and playing really great defense for a winner, I think to me that's more impressive than putting up lesser efficiency. And you know, I don't have to have that 27 points per game to feel good about a player being elite. And I think communicating that is something that obviously Brad has always done with guys, like especially like Jay Crowder. He was always big about saying Jay doesn't need to be a great wing. He doesn't have to have those volume stats. So I think keeping him understanding that he can be just as good as those guys and go even further than that because of his acceptance of that is going to be really, really crucial, because like he could go out there and do the Mamba thing and shoot 40 times, but does that make you a better basketball player? I don't necessarily think so. So I think it's just a learning curve and definitely an adjustment, but I think he's definitely responding to it.
I think he is learning, though, too, Riffsy, even in these short amount of times in these little kind of mini microcosms of the season. Like, if you look at their four-game winning streak very early on in the year after they started 2-2, Tatum averaged 14.5 points, a whole wide range. He had 2 games of 9 field goal attempts, a game with 12, and a game with 18. That's, kind of all over the place. It's like, okay, like, he had 24 points. One of those games, he had 6-1. It was, like, kind of these wide, crazy ranges. Now, during this four-game winning streak, he's averaging over 17, and he's taking 14, 12, 15, and 11 field goal attempts. Like, the efficiency's there, and the numbers are up, and there's less shot attempts. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a purpose to why he's taking less shots that are more within the offense. His numbers are now up, and the Celtics are winning. Like, I think it all kind of goes hand in hand, and he's even learning that. And, look, I think it's really easy to get on him, but like you said, he's not even legal to drink yet. Like, it's insane. So there's a lot more to come with Jason Tatum.
And it's like you would, if I could make like the advanced move, like he probably has the best footwork of any player in the NBA already. Like if you look at his technical moves that he has in the post and going to the rim, I don't think anybody is a better other. You could say Harden, but I don't think Harden's is quite as clean and technically advanced as Tatum's. I think you can make a case that he's like the best improvisational like post scorer in the league, and it would be really hard not to use that if I had all of that in my back pocket and I thought like the team was struggling. Like, it would just be like a really natural response to be like, oh, I can do this and get us in the bucket this way. But realizing there's times and places for it, and I think he's done that really well. And I also think shot distribution has been a huge thing. A lot more at the rim, a lot more three-point attempts. Tonight he had 5 three-point attempts, which I love to see. I want to see him shooting 5 or more a night. So it's just one of those things. It's a developmental thing, and we got a little bit ahead of ourselves, but he's responding. I'm definitely encouraged.
Riffs. I'm sorry, man. I had myself on mute. I'm sorry. I thought I was talking. I apologize for that. I was talking to myself, and I sounded really good to myself. How funny. But pretty much what I was just saying is that, going off what you're saying about Tatum, I think it's really funny because, long story short, no matter if you want to listen to what Riffs is saying or kind of some of the nerdy numbers I'm giving you and crunching, the point is that if Tatum can get to that kind of perfect efficiency that he's at right now, where he's taking a nice amount of shots, his numbers are going up compared to the other winning streak that the Celtics had this year, and there's shots within the offense, and he doesn't look like a hot shot out there, I think that's the niche that the Celtics want, and that's right what Brad Stevens wanted, and that's what Tatum, to me, looked like last year, not the guy that started the beginning of the year. So a lot to analyze with Tatum, and I'm glad we kind of really dug into that, Riffs, because there was a whole lot
Definitely.
To get into there with Tatum. But if you did miss the top of the show on the CLNS Media Celtics post-game show, I'm Andrew Bino. Alongside me is the Riffs man. Riffs, only a couple minutes left. I do want to review something for the folks at home And it's really funny you bring up James Harden, because I was thinking to myself kind of, okay, Jaylen Brown to some people might be taking a step back because it's like, oh my goodness, he's coming off the bench now. Like, this doesn't make sense. He's supposed to be like this next great thing. Guess what? On the Thunder team that went all the way to the finals back in the day and played the Heat in the 2012 finals that lost to the Heat 4-1, James Harden was the sixth man. James Harden is now a superstar in this league. He won the MVP last year. If you don't think that Jaylen Brown, as a 21-year-old, can come off the bench and have just as big of an impact, excuse me, you're wrong. Like, Jaylen Brown can absolutely do what James Harden did for that Thunder team, which is come in, be a spark of energy, play just as an important role as if he was starting.
Yeah, and I think one thing he did tonight that I kind of envisioned him all of along, be a battering ram for this offense. He can just go in there and abuse. There's maybe three or four guys in the league at the wing positions who are stronger than him, period. He's one of the strongest, fastest players in basketball. Go and mix it up in the paint, baby. It was great tonight. I thought that was, you know, a good way to get yourself going is to get those easy ones and to put pressure on them and get the cheap ones at the free throw line. And he did all of that. And if he can take that approach to be a really forceful player and, you know, help the team that way, it could be such an incredible thing for this team.
He has a ton of potential. And one thing I was really excited about was the amount he got to the line tonight. There was a game that a couple weeks ago where the Celtics were playing, and they didn't have a free throw attempt in the first half. That game is escaping me, and I don't want to say the wrong game that it was. But, look, that's not a stat that you ever want, Riffs, and I was definitely impressed by the fact that Jaylen Brown came back from injury. He came right. He had no issues with coming off the bench. Like you said, showed no kind of weak mental stability or anything, and he did his thing, and he drove in, and he did well. So I think that Jaylen Brown showed a lot tonight. I think that Hayward and Rozier continue to thrive in their bench role, and the starting five is something that Brad Stevens has found. And look, the Celtics, they have a lot more games in the next couple of games, kind of average competition. They go to Chicago coming up on Saturday, and then they play a very average they play the Pelicans at home, who is a team they already beat. Washington Wizards are struggling. Atlanta, Detroit, Phoenix. These are all very winnable games until a huge matchup right around Christmas time against the Bucks on a Friday night on ESPN at 8. So, look, I really do think that the Celtics have a lot more to go, but I think that if they can continue beating up on some of these bad teams and figuring out the starting five, there's something to be said about potentially going in really hot against the Bucks team a few days before Christmas.
Yeah, and I mean, we can't take any of these for granted, because you can make a run against it. Eventually, Toronto is not going to make every damn shot. You know what I mean? So let's give ourselves a chance with these games and not take them for granted. Definitely, and I mean, one of the things you always got to worry about with Chicago when you see a coach fired is there's always a bump. If they hated their coach, there's always a little bump there where they start playing hot offensively right after and defensively. So I expect to win that one, but let's just game at a time, and really build that formula for winning games and figuring out what our chemistry is. That's such a valuable thing, is to build that.
A game at a time, no doubt. The show is coming to an end. It's the CLNS Celtics post-game show on CLNS Media, presented by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. For my co-host, Riffsman, I am Andrew Urbino. Thank you for joining us after that 128-100 Celtics win over the Knicks. The next game is Saturday, and please tune in to Taylor McLeod. He will have that game for CLNS Media on the Celtics post-game show. For my co-host, Riffsman, I'm Andrew Urbino. Have a good night, and thank you for joining us. Oh,